You look better now than when you first woke up. Tell him how glad you are to see him here at Word of Life. We're going to have loads of fun today. While we're preaching, we're going to keep the lights a little bit dim because we're going to go back into worship, and we don't want there to be a big transition. We want there to be a smooth transition. But that does not give you an excuse to fall asleep, especially on a night when you got an extra hour of sleep. And in fact, some of you may be here because you actually think it's the 11:30 service. It's not. It's not. You forgot to set your clock back. But with that, we're glad to have you here, and we want to encourage you, stay engaged, because we really do feel like God has something he wants to communicate to you. We're in this series called At the Movies, and I was going to take a movie and illustrate a spiritual truth, and the movie I was going to communicate this weekend was Finding Nemo, and the power of just keep swimming, and the power of faith and patience. We're going to tie those two together. But as the week got closer, I really felt like the Lord wanted me to change our message, and so we did. And we're going to talk about something that's in every movie. In every movie, there is a soundtrack. And if you've watched a movie, you probably have paid attention to the soundtrack. In fact, many of you may even own a soundtrack from a particular movie you like. Now, in these movies, they know that the power of sound amplifies each scene. So in movies, they have scenes, but they know in order for the scene to be maximized, you have to have a sound behind the scene. So they'll play the sound and play it behind the scene to kind of make the most of the scene. In fact, we've got two famous soundtracks today, just little sounds playing behind a scene. How many of you have ever seen the movie Rocky? We have any Rocky fans in here? Well, you know there's some crucial moments in Rocky, but one of the major ones has this sound coming behind it. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it. Let's go ahead and play it. Just put it over the people. Yeah, yeah. How many of you remember this? Just getting ready, gearing up for a fight. Inconquerable. Nothing can shake me. So that sound plays during Rocky, and it's there to maximize the scene. The scene and the sound, they work in parallel. There's also another famous movie, the movie Jaws, and Jaws is known for fear, and it's got a sound that's probably the most famous sound in all of movie history. Let's play that sound. Many of you already know it. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's communicating the scene. And with that, when you hear this sound, it automatically takes you back to the scene of that shark. And that's why they're playing the sounds, is the sounds are there to maximize the scenes. Now, every movie has different scenes. There are scenes filled with comedy. There are scenes filled with different drama. There are scenes filled with highs. There are scenes filled with lows. And I think that's why we like movies so much, is because oftentimes movies show us ourselves. We can identify with the characters because our life has different scenes in it too. I'm sure there's been some funny moments in your life, some humorous moments in your life. I'm sure also you've had your fair share of drama. Have any of you ever had any drama in your life before? I know I've had drama in mine. Highs, lows, plot twists and turns. Last night I had a buddy in church. He was actually serving, helping with our kids fest last night. And he got home last night and his wife walked in before he did. And she said, honey, there's water all over the floor. And he said, well, just get a couple of towels to clean it up. And she said, no, love, I don't think you understand. There's water like all over the floor. And a line in their dishwasher had broken. And the whole downstairs was filled with like 3 inches of water, and they just built the house like 3 months ago, and so I ran over there to help them clean up, and I tell you what, just believing God for grace for them to just deal with that. But in all of our lives, we have moments like that where it's just surprising, the dark times that have come, and for some, it's big things like that, or maybe the loss of a loved one, or just times where it just seems like heaviness comes. It's been my experience through life and also pastoring the lives of many people. When the devil attacks, he does so in waves. It's never just one thing. It's always a bunch of things that kind of hit at the same time. So our lives have different scenes, but our life also has a soundtrack. And I'm not just talking about the music you play on the radio as you live life. I'm talking about the sound that is coming from you, your words. And oftentimes, just like a movie, our soundtrack works with our scenes. that our soundtrack kind of describes the scenes that we're seeing right now. That our words and our scenes match. If it's good, so is our soundtrack. If it's bad, so is our soundtrack. If the scene is sad, so is the soundtrack. If the scene is happy, so is the soundtrack. That our words kind of work in parallel with our scenes. Now, this was never God's best. God never intended for your soundtrack and your scenes to be the same. In fact, God intended in life for your soundtrack to actually have the power to change your scenes. But as long as the soundtrack matches the scene will remain the same. You can't change the scene until you change the soundtrack. See, there's scriptures all throughout the Bible, like in James, it says, your tongue is a powerful force. In Proverbs, it says, your tongue has the power, literally, of life and death. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus talked about the power of the tongue, and he said your tongue could literally move mountains, that you could see in life what you say with your mouth. James says that many people don't understand this power, and so they just talk any old way they want to talk. They allow their soundtrack to match their scenes, and he said it's like a raging fire that's just destroying life. He said your tongue, it's like a bit in a horse's mouth. He said, your tongue is like a rudder on a ship. Basically, what he was getting at is just like you have a bit in a horse's mouth, you can't change the direction of the horse until you change the bit in the horse's mouth. You can't change the direction of a ship until you change the rudder at the back of the ship. And he said, your life is like that. Your tongue is your rudder. Your tongue is the bit in the horse's mouth. That you cannot change the direction of your life until you change the direction of your tongue. If you want to change the scenes, what you're seeing in your relationship with your children, you have to change the soundtrack you are speaking over your children. If you want to change your relationship, if you want to see that relationship go in a new direction, you have to talk about the scene you want to see and not the scene you are seeing right now. The Bible says if in your life you're feeling weak, don't talk about how weak you feel. Let the weak change the scene. Let the weak say, I am strong. Says you'll never change the scene until you can change the soundtrack. In the Old Testament, there was a guy who just was living in a period of life where there was so much darkness that had overtaken his life. His name was Saul, and he just was filled with all types of bitterness and rage and unforgiveness. And out of that, it just defiled his life. And it always will. The Bible talks about that many of us have had our lives ruined because of a root of bitterness that defiles our life. And this is where Saul was at. And the people around him wanted to change the scene. They didn't want to see Saul keep living this way. And so they did something. They brought in a worshiper. They brought in David, and David comes in there with a new soundtrack. And in this scene of darkness, he changes the scene by introducing a new sound. When David began to worship, when David began to praise, the Spirit of God broke through in that room, and it changed the scene. A new sound equaled a new life. And friends, I want to encourage you, it's the same principle. No matter how dark your life is right now or will be in the future, if you can introduce a new sound, you can introduce a new scene. There's a passage in the New Testament, the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. You've got two guys in Paul and Silas who are in the center of the will of God for their lives. They're there doing what God has called them to do, and in the middle of that, just severe persecution breaks out around them. And their life goes through just a really deep, dark scene. Let me just pause right here, and we may talk about this more next week, but you can never determine the will of God for your life by your exterior circumstances. Because sometimes you can be right in the middle of the will of God for your life and still see negative things happen all around you. This is where Paul and Silas are at. They're doing everything God's told them to do, doing it where God has told them to do it, but still a severe, dark scene is happening in their life. And They're being persecuted because of the gospel. This persecution turns into torment. This torment turns into imprisonment. In fact, let's just read about it real quick on the screens. Acts chapter 16 and verse 22, it says, "And the multitude rose up together against them," them being Paul and Silas, "and the magistrates," these are the guys in charge, "tore off their clothes," Paul and Silas's clothes, "and commanded them to be beat. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them there safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." I love that. They weren't being quiet about it. "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose." Think about the scene if this was in a movie. You've got two guys loving the Lord, and you see an attack come up because of this. And people come all around these guys and tear off their clothes, strip them naked, literally in a public square, and command them to be beat. The Bible says they laid many stripes upon them. Now, many preachers exaggerate, but the Bible never does. When the Bible says they laid many stripes upon them, it means just that. They weren't beaten for just a little while. They were severely beaten from head to toe. Then they get cast into prison. They charge the prison guard, "You've got to keep them safe." So he thrusts them into the innermost prison and puts their feet in stocks. I read about this, and these Roman stocks were not just chains. They were also meant to be a form of torture. They wouldn't just put a chain around your ankles. They would put your feet in iron boxes and separate the boxes far enough from one another that you couldn't sit or move forward. You were just standing in this awkward position. It was a form of torture. And here they are in stocks. Here they are in the innermost prison. Here they are being beaten. Here they are naked. This was in a movie. You could imagine the soundtrack that would be behind this. It would be deep and dark. It would be sad. It would be just an emotional moment where your heart is just going out to the characters in the story. The soundtrack would be just a completely dark type of soundtrack. It would match the scene. But Paul and Silas knew, we can't afford to live a life like a movie. We'll never change the scene until we change the soundtrack. And so instead of allowing their chains to break their praise, they allowed their praise to break their chains. And all of a sudden in this scene, they introduced a new sound, and it wasn't a sound of complaining, and it wasn't a sound of backbiting, and it wasn't a sound of how unfair life was. It was a sound of praising the living God, worshiping His holy name, magnifying His goodness. And I want you to notice that the soundtrack introduced a new scene. So my question to you today is what scene change do you need in your life? And is your soundtrack talking about the scene you are in right now, or is your soundtrack introducing a new scene into your life? Are your chains breaking your praise, or is your praise breaking your chains? I heard a story this week. It was actually the thing that kind of changed the trajectory of my message this weekend. And it's by Louis Giglio. I like Louis. I like listening to him. He pastors a church, Passion City Church, and he just has a fire about him when he preaches, and he preaches with authenticity. He doesn't mask his life like everything is under control. He talks about the battles that he has fought. And the Bible does the same thing. It always takes the characters and stories and talks about how they overcame things. And I want you to know that there's no preacher or person who ever stood on a pulpit who has not faced the same battles you face. They might try to mask it, but But friends, the reality is we all face things, and the goal is not to try to act like we haven't. The goal is try to coach people through it by saying, hey, I've been there too, and this is how God set us free. And Louis preaches with that. He talked about in 2008 how his life went through a really dark time. In 2008, we know there was a recession. And a big chunk of his nest egg got knocked out, and he's kind of middle-aged, so that was alarming for him. You know, anytime your financial security is threatened, naturally it's a time where your body will be a little bit more stressed, so he had that going on. Once again, when the devil attacks you, it's never just with one thing, it's always just wave after wave. Both him and his wife, their mothers got sick. One was dealing with severe dementia, and the other one was dealing with a sickness that they passed away from that year, and they get a phone call in the middle of the night saying, your mother's out wandering the streets, and we found her, you know, several blocks away, and we've got to get her back. And she didn't even realize she had left the house, so they were dealing with that. Then professionally, things were busier than they ever were before. They were great, but with everything that's growing, it can produce more work. It can make you busy to maintain that growth. And they were planning a church there in Atlanta, Passion City Church, and they also have conferences that they do all over America called Passion Conferences. It's just a huge emphasis on reaching young people and praise and worship. And they were putting on these conferences in 2008, not just in America, but they decided to do 17 different international cities. It's awesome, wonderful. It was also a lot of work, and it also was a heavy financial bill to the tune of around $6 million. He had to believe God for all of that money, so he's spiritually depleted from believing God for the money to come in. He's also spiritually depleted because of having to minister at all of those conferences and put them on. And they went to places like Jakarta, Indonesia, and Cape Town, South Africa, and they ended the conferences in Sydney, Australia. And the night of the last meeting, they were in the hotel room getting ready for bed, and his wife was over in the bathroom area, and he heard just this agonizing scream coming from the bathroom. So he ran in there, found his wife on the floor, and she had ruptured a disc in her back. She was in such unbearable pain that she could not move. They had to watch her there in Sydney and try to get her to a place where she could travel on an airplane all the way back to Atlanta. And finally, she got there and had to have back surgery. And all of this is just going through Louis, just going through his insides. See, life passes through us. And we always lose this inner war before we ever begin losing this outward one. And Louis's feeling all of this, and a couple of nights after his wife's back surgery, he's laying in bed and he wakes up about 2 o'clock and he feels like he's having a heart attack. His chest is filled with pressure, his left arm begins to hurt. His father passed away of a heart attack, his grandfather passed away of a heart attack, and so he feels like he's about to have the same thing happen to him. So he runs to the bathroom and, like a typical man thinks, you know, just splashing water on his face will kind of cure everything. And he realizes it doesn't, but he doesn't want to wake up his wife. She's dealing with the pain from back surgery. So he just sits on the edge of the bathtub and kind of waits till morning. That morning he puts on his clothes, goes to work, doesn't want to bother his wife. And at work, his sister worked for him, and she came up to him and said, Louis, you don't look right. What's going on with you? You don't look right. And he says, I don't feel right. He told her the symptoms. She said, Louis, you have to go to a doctor like right now. He went to the doctor and they ran all these tests, EKGs, heart x-rays, all of these types of things. They came back later and the guy asked him, the physician asked Louis, where'd you eat last night? What'd you eat for dinner? And he said, Papado's, which is an amazing restaurant if you've never been, by the way. I like Papado's. Believing God for one to come into Jackson. I just believed in Panera Bread, so you can thank me for that. Papado's is next. But with this, the doctor came in and said, Louis, it's heartburn. That's all it is heartburn. Here's some Tums. You know, take that. You ate a big meal last night. That's all it is. But he said that same night he went to bed. About 2:15 again, he wakes up with the same type of attack. Waits it out till morning. He's sitting on the edge of his bed and his wife sees him and all he's doing is just shaking his legs and his legs are just shaking. And she said, Louis, stop that. He said, I'm trying to and I can't control it. Tells her the other symptoms. She said, we're going to the ER right now. They go to the emergency room and he said, I can tell you how to skip a line at the emergency room. Just tell them you're a middle-aged man. You have pressure in your chest. You're sweating uncontrollably and your left arm hurts. You will move past every person in the line. He said, they put him in the room. They take his blood pressure and it's 190 over 170. They rush in, they do all these tests. And after many tests being run, stress tests, another EKG, more x-rays, the doctor comes back and he shows Louis his current blood pressure, which was completely normal. He said, Louis, all your tests have come back fine. There's nothing wrong with your heart. He said, Louis, what you're experiencing is panic attacks. Your nerves are breaking down on you. Your mind and your body is trying to tell you to slow down, to relieve this pressure. And he said, that's what you're dealing with. And we're going to give you some medicine. Take it twice a day over the next 2 weeks. Let's see if that helps. And he took the medicine and went home. He said the medicine helped here or there, but he still felt himself suffering from these attacks, and it seemed like it would always happen around 2 o'clock in the morning. He said, it just seemed like no one could help me. It just seemed like nothing I did could break me out of this. He said, so in the middle of the night when these things would happen, I would go online. Have you ever done this? Go online and try to check your symptoms. And like a bug bite turns into a tumor like that from the fear you're gathering from the internet. And with that, you know, he's typing in the search box the symptoms. Have you gone overseas? Yes. Have you gone to any third world nations? Yes. And after he cranks in all of his information, the internet tells him what you have is parasites. And these are below the equator parasites. And if you live above the equator, they are sleeping while you are awake. But when you try to sleep, they wake up. And that's what's waking you up at 2 o'clock in the morning. So he goes to another doctor to get rid of these parasites. And he said, I won't tell you the tests they ran to determine I didn't have parasites, but it was ugly. He said, night after night, this heaviness, this pressure. He said it was so debilitating that he couldn't function, didn't want to preach. He began losing track of the dreams God had given him. That's always a dangerous sign spiritually, friend. God's a God of vision and dreams. And if you can't see a better future, if all you can see is the present and the past, it's dangerous. If your past memories are bigger than your present dreams, your life is in trouble. And Louis had just lost all sight of the future. Where he's once so passionate about pastoring this church, now he thinks, I can't even get up in front of people. One night he woke up again. He finally started talking to the Lord about it. Just said, Lord, you know, I can't live this way. I can't function this way. And the Lord spoke to his heart something that he had read years ago in Job 35. Where God spoke to Job and said, I'll give you songs in the night. When God said, I'll give you songs in the night, it's not just talking about in the night, it's talking about the season of night. That sometimes you go through seasons of life where it's just bright and everything's working and everything is clicking and it's awesome, but then there are other seasons that are just night seasons. That midnight hour, where everything is just dark and there's a heaviness about you and a confusion about you and a cloudiness about you. The Lord said, I'll give you songs for that season. He said the Lord led him that in his own life, basically, his soundtrack had matched his season. the words out of his mouth had just been constantly what he was facing and constantly what he was going through and constantly how bad it was, how rough it was. And there was no strong praise for God. There was no faith in his mouth. And the Lord dealt with him that in Genesis chapter 1, there was darkness across the face of the earth, but the Spirit of the Lord was still there. But the Spirit of the Lord was not active until God began to speak. And when God spoke, the Spirit of the Lord moved and created this beautiful world out of the darkness that existed before. And the Lord told Louis, look, I haven't left your life. I'm still there. My spirit is still here, but you've got to speak light into the darkness. So Louis said, I didn't know what to do, so I just began to sing. I just began to praise. I just began to confess. I began to praise over my future. I began to confess my dreams. He changed the soundtrack to match the season he wanted instead of the season he was in. He said, it wasn't overnight, but over a period of time, I woke up and I realized one day I was standing in complete light with all the darkness behind me. He changed his soundtrack, and through changing his soundtrack, he was able to change his scene. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. I not only want to encourage you to do it, I want to help you do it in this service. We're going to praise and we're going to worship the Lord. And when we do, I want you to do it with all of your heart. Because it's not just about words on a screen. It's about us believing there's a living God who's watching over us. There's a God who holds the seasons in his hand. And he can change any season we are in. There's a God for whom all things are possible. And if he can find some people on earth who will believe that, he can change anything and move any mountain. So we're going to praise him today. And you don't have to worry about how you sound. We'll turn up the music loud enough where you can't hear the person next to you. You don't have to worry about how you look. Because it's dark in here and no one can see you. You don't have to worry about if you're doing it right. It's a relationship. You know, when you first start dating someone, it's a little awkward. You're wondering, did I say everything right? But then after you get married and those types of things, it's like you're yourself. And you just, because you know you're accepted and loved in them. It's the same way with God. A lot of times when people are new to worship, they're like, am I doing this right? Kind of. Friends, I want to encourage you, it's just a relationship. It's about an amazing God who loves you and wants to help you. And this is kind of just a sign of, God, I need you. It's a sign of surrender. It's a sign saying, I'm done doing this my own way, and I want to do it yours. I just want to encourage you to change the soundtrack of your life and to let this service be a start of a new scene that God wants to do. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet again. I'm going to invite the singers to come and get in place. And I'm going to pray and I'm just going to ask God to meet with us, to meet with you. We're going to get back into worship. We're going to sing one song. We're going to end and we'll let you go after that. But let's just all take this moment right now to start a new scene by introducing a new sound. Father, we come before you today. We love you. I thank you, Lord, for these people and the plans you have for them, plans to give them a hope and a future. And I ask you, Lord, to allow them to be filled with faith. I ask you, Lord, to refresh their souls, to redeem their lives, and to give them strength to run their race. Meet with us today, Father, as we meet with you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to encourage you in your life. It's so true. You are a child of God. And we want to end this service with you just having a moment in your own heart for you to draw near to God. You know, I don't know where you've come from or your life story. I know we have many people in here who have walked with the Lord for many years. But I also know we have some people who are just starting their walk or maybe even haven't made a decision to join that walk. 31% of the fellow people in this sanctuary right now worshiping along with you did not attend a church before this church or were not churched for the last 10 years. And so we have many people who've come to Word of Life who have began a journey with Christ. We've had over 600 salvations in our kids' departments this year. We've had over 1,000 in here in the sanctuary. It's amazing. And so with that, I say that to say, if you're here this morning, you say, you know, Pastor Joel, I just feel so distant. I feel so confused. I feel so lost. And I'm hurting and I'm wounded and I don't know what to do. Friends, your answer is Jesus. Here's the thing you need to know, friend. I don't care what you've heard from any other preacher. I don't care what you heard growing up. God loves you. He loves you. He is your father. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And he died, Jesus died, not just for your sins, but the sins of the whole world, which means there is no sin you could ever commit. No matter how repetitive, no matter how dark, no matter how deep, that could separate you from the love that God has for you. See, if you feel distant from God, it's not because God has moved, it's because you have. And this world is filled with temptation to lure you from him. And then after we yield to the temptation, this world is filled with condemnation that says, you've missed it so bad, you can't draw near. And friend, it is a lie from the pit of hell. No matter how dark your light is, life is, God can break through that darkness with his marvelous light. And all he needs is you to make a decision for him. And so with heads bowed all over this place, eyes closed, before we let you leave, I just want to give you an opportunity to do this. Let me say in this service right now, it's safe. I'm not going to make anyone look at you. This is not before people. This is a decision I want you to make in your own heart. You don't have to worry about what are people going to think about me or any of those types of things. In this service, you'll not have to walk an aisle. There are services when we do that, but in this one, you can stay in your seat. And so while it is incredibly secret before people, I want it to be very open before the Lord. And if you're here today, with every head bowed, every eyes closed, no one's looking around, but if you're here today and you say, Pastor Joel, look, that's me. I know I'm distant. And I know I need Jesus. I know he is the way out of this. He is the light in my darkness. I know I need Jesus. This is all I'm going to ask you to do. If that's you, just lift up your hand all over this place. Maybe it's you need him for the very first time. Maybe you're rededicating your life, but all over this room, just lift up your hand. Hands going up all over the place. Now, everyone in this room, everyone, pray this prayer with me and let's say it with every fiber of our being. Repeat it after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe you sent Jesus to die for me. I believe not only did he die, but on the third day, Jesus rose again from the grave. Jesus, you're the Lord of my life, the Savior of my soul. I've been forgiven by you, so I forgive myself. And I say, Jesus, every one of my sins, my mistakes, all of them, they're washed away. And I say, Jesus, I'm starting new. I'm starting fresh. And this is the beginning of the best days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's celebrate the grace of God this morning. Oh, friends, Jesus loves you. He is for you. And He is with you right now. If you made that decision, I want to ask you to do something. In the back of every seat, there's a card. We want you to fill it out. You can drop it off in the offering receptacles as you're exiting, but we want to connect with you. We want to make sure you know your next steps so that you can progress in your walk with Christ. And if you need prayer for anything else today, there's going to be prayer room workers standing right here at this altar who want to pray with you and for you. Whether it's for your family or your marriage or to be filled with the Spirit, whatever it may be, there's going to be prayer room workers standing right here. They want to pray with you. And I would encourage you to take advantage of it. If you're a guest here this morning, man, we're glad to have you. It's your first time here. It's awesome. We pray you can come back again. But either way, we want to give you something. It's out at the rotunda area as you're walking out through those exit doors. There's a kind of a octagon-shaped thing with some flat screens right out of those exit doors. And you can go there, tell them you're a first-time guest, and we'll give you a free T-shirt. It's just our little way of saying thank you for coming to Word of Life. We love you guys. It was so much fun worshiping with you today. We pray you come back again and again. Know that God is for you and He is with you. We'll see you all next week. Be blessed.